Turn with me to Philippians 3. These are go-to verses when you are beginning a new year. I've been here before. I use them for my own personal encouragement, and maybe I can introduce some ideas that you can use in coming years when you're in other places on other January 1st or New Year's Eve days. I must acknowledge that a number of years ago, someone stood in front of me and raised the issue of what if you had $1,440 every day to spend? And he raised that possibility and then followed it with the idea that it would be very difficult to spend $1,440 every day for many, many days. And I remember thinking to myself, I would like the opportunity. I would like the opportunity. And with the cost of living in our time, compared to probably the first time I heard someone use that illustration, I think it would be a whole lot easier. But on that occasion, he made the observation that we do have 1,440 minutes every day, and we need to spend them wisely. And we have no guarantee of 1,440 minutes on any other given day, knowing that Christ could come at some time, or circumstances could change our life here upon this earth. But the encouragement is to realize that you have the opportunity to invest each day the use of the minutes that God has given you. We sleep 4 to 8 hours. We work. Some of those hours would take care of many of those minutes. But we still have so much time to invest in doing the blessings that we can to others in this world. We talked in our class this morning about goals and the uncommon things we believe as we begin that study. I encourage you to come join us in coming Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock for our Sunday morning class. We talked this morning about having a proper view of Scripture and realizing that God gives us in Scripture a purpose for life. My purpose is to find out what pleases God. And my extended purpose is to bring Him glory as I seek to serve Him day by day. And it's the use of minutes in the best of ways that can affect the livelihood of many people. I think Paul must have been thinking about New Year's Eve or day when he wrote the verses that we're looking at this morning. Philippians 3, we begin at verse 12. Not that I've already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. As we begin a new year, these verses would encourage us to set the right goal. Let that goal be something spiritual in nature. Let that goal be something that would aspire you to set the highest of ideals before yourself. The idea of pursuing Christ, to take hold of Him, to make the most of the life that He's given you day by day. And he says, I haven't reached that goal yet. I'm trying to take hold of it. The word perfect there is better rendered maturity. As we're striving to mature in Christ day by day, we should slow down perhaps and ask a few questions. Did life get in the way in 2022? Did work, your work, get in the way of striving to reach that maturity in Christ? Did you let the tyranny of the urgency take precedent over the more important eternal things. A lot of reflection, I hope, will take place if you've not done it already. A lot of refocus and refreshing, if you will, taking place. I'm noticing during some exciting football games yesterday that they're starting to advertise the diet workout places and the diet plans that are available to many of us in our country. Call this number and ask them to send them immediately, and you'll lose so many pounds in so many days, and it'll only cost you most of your fortune. That's what it seems like. But it's appealing to the reality that some of us will make a resolution to bring about a change that's the betterment for us, a physical change, a spiritual re-understanding of life, if you will. But the commercials are already acknowledging that many people are going to make resolutions. They're going to bring about the intended goal of change. And Facebook seems to put it out there clearly for us. What is a New Year's resolution? The question asked. It's something that lasts about 1 week, Facebook told us. And these are resolutions that aren't heartfelt. They're not deeply, there's not a deep motivation or understanding behind them if it lasts only a week. But then the other point that we might make is we only have one day at a time. And so make the resolution for today and do something better today. Strive for higher things today. If you've already messed up, start again. I've said in counseling sessions a number of times, and I've asked people, can you do this, something that we've talked about, 40, 50 minutes, can you do this for the next year? And it was as if I had asked them to do something that was utterly impossible, and I could see the expression on their face. And so I took a breath, and I says, how about this? Can you make this resolution to do better today? And they did not very quickly shake their head. And I approached it this way. Can you do it half of the day? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I can do it half a day. That's a start. And get to where you can do it all day. And get to where it's more resolved within you, and you can do it for 2 days and 3 days and 4 days. But you only have one day at a time. Do it today, whatever it is you need to do in setting the goal for 2023. It can be physical things. That's important for all of us. But more importantly, it can be something that stretches beyond the physical, and it's a spiritual value that we set into place, and it's a goal, and it's something we determine, I'm going to take hold of that, Paul suggests. Take hold of that and press on in that endeavor. And of course, it's why we were called. He uses the terminology, take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Why are you here today? If you're here for spiritual reasons, take hold of that and expound upon it and make it more of your practice in coming days, in coming weekends, in coming Sunday mornings. But something else is talked about in verse 12 that sets the scene for the statement of verse 13. In order for us to set new goals, there has to be a point when we have a point of dissatisfaction. I'm dissatisfied with where I am right now. And I look to the past, which can't be changed. And I look to the past, which can serve as a motivation, And I'm dissatisfied where I am today in view of those things. And so verse 13 gives us that next step, if you will. He says, "But brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." He's already suggested that reality. He hinted at it, the past. I haven't done very well so far, haven't taken hold of it. But it's accentuated here with a repetition that would say there needs to be a dissatisfaction. And that dissatisfaction will be something that motivates you to whatever is next in that declaration that you're wanting to make. So there's a right goal, verse 12. There's a dissatisfaction that needs to be a part of this circumstance in your life. You look to the past. You've not yet taken hold of it. I'm not satisfied where I am. And Paul says, what's next? He tells us that there has to be a purpose. There has to be a purpose. And it's that higher aspiration. It's that better thing. That spiritual in mind. And he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And by that statement, he says there's a direction. I'm not there yet. I'm dissatisfied with my progress. I haven't yet taken hold of it, repeated twice for emphasis. He says there needs to be a direction, a purpose, as I stretch forward and press forward, if you will. I'm not sure we like the expression straining toward what is ahead. It's an athletic term that Paul uses, and he does that often in his writings. It's not something that's going to come easy. It's going to involve a mental ascent, and it's going to involve a physical endeavor on my part. And I'm going to strain in that effort. I'm going to make the effort. I'm going to do it no matter what the cost. And if I mess up after a week, I'm going to start over and I'm going to do better the second week or the second day. Whatever our conclusion would be at the end of a given day, how did we do? Are we making progress? Straining toward that which is ahead, Paul said. And then there's a determination. I was blessed to be around people who lived, verse 14, in their life. Some of them in a physical sense, and some of them that encouraged me in a physical sense, according to the principle given here. But certainly in a spiritual sense, they were there for me to encourage me to see it the way Paul would have me see it. And Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not yet in heaven, are we? It would be a prayer that we would see the church, that spiritual body of Christ, for which Christ is head. Dustin referred to it in his comments around communion. We're not there yet, but we would like to think that church, this ecclesia body of people, give us a picture of what it might be like. Heaven is something we can experience in a smaller sense here, knowing that it's still to come. And I've been called to be part of the body of Christ, spiritually speaking. And as we are in this together as this spiritual body, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, weeping when we weep, being joyful when there's reason to be joyful, noticing who's not here, noticing those who need special prayers, responding to those who have special needs. The list goes on and on and on, and it's taking hold of this. And the goal is to understand heaven is that prize for which we're all working. It's given to us through grace. We'll never earn it. But there are so many times in Scripture when it's conditional. If we do certain things, this will be the reward. If we act a certain way, this will be the benefit. Over and over in Scripture, we're seeing the real circumstances, and we're still striving for the goal to win that for which we've been called. And that is, I want to spend eternity with God in heaven one day, and that one day becomes an eternal day, and that's the blessing. I want you to be there one day based upon what's made possible through the grace of God and our responding to that grace day by day. I want you to be faithful if you're a member of the body of Christ until your last breath, knowing that just on the other side of that last breath is beginning that eternal existence with God. Prior to the judgment, but still entering eternity of being exactly where God wants me to be as that faithful member of the body of Christ. And so there's a direction and there's a determination that's associated with it. I was blessed to be around people that encouraged me in areas of trying to be an athlete. Believe it or not, at one point this body used to be somewhat athletic. I could do certain things and do it well. I would be with teams that would work together and achieve marvelous things. And I was taught at a very early age, especially when I went into team sports, that there's a certain amount of discipline that's involved. It doesn't happen automatically. It's a pipe dream if we think we can just aspire to something and we're going to do it without a certain amount of work and discipline that's involved. And that's involved in these verses. Paul says the discipline, verses 15 and 16, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. There's a dissatisfaction, there's a focus, a decision, but it involves discipline of gauging our progress day by day, week by week, year by year, to judge our progress as it would speak to a mature view of what people are instructing us to do in order to achieve these things. From the spiritual point of view, there's spiritual disciplines that we need to grow in day by day. We mentioned in class, we need to have a deep respect for God's Word. And if that's the case, we need to be reading it daily. We need to be meditating upon it day and night. We need to be asking the questions, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? And then how am I doing? Here's what it said. Here's what it meant. I'm trying to apply it. How am I doing as I'm seeking to meditate upon God's Word? And it takes a mature person to be the disciplined person that we need to be in this Christian walk. Some people don't want this mature view. Some people aren't asking for it. Some people won't take this mature instruction. But he says, if on some point you would think differently, And that involves a proper appreciation of God and His Word and what it means to you. If you've got a different way to get to heaven, then check with God and see His way. Christ told us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Amen. We closed our class this morning with a proper respect for God, that if we suggest that we have Christ, or we have God, but we don't have Christ, we don't have God. Eternal life involves Christ. And what we do with Jesus matters, spiritually speaking. And we take a mature view of this. We don't go our own way. He's the way. And those that take such a mature view, then let us be certain that we're making progress. Make progress in this spiritual walk. And then he talks about the future. We'll read them and let them speak for themselves. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now will say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, their mind is on earthly things. Earthly things that are perishable, that will fade away, that will not take us into eternity. Our citizenship is in heaven. Already, we're looking at where we're going for eternity. Already we're living with eternity in mind. Every day we have in mind what God has in mind for us. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. One day we'll be just like Him. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown is that you should stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, that's our desire for each other as it becomes our personal desire on this first day, 2023. Look at what you've done and how you've grown and changes that you made a year ago. Look at your progress. Continue to seek progress, maturity, growth in your life, and set that new found direction to take hold and one day faithfully to pass from this world and be with God forever and ever and ever and ever. And you repeat that as often as you need to redetermine what's most important in your life. Stand firm. Refresh. Evaluate. And do the things that can benefit you in your relationship to God and the effects that it can have on others. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you can respond and ask for changes and help, we'll be here to help you. If you're not yet a member of the body of Christ, we want to study with you and help you to understand what that means. A baptistry of water is warm and waiting if you want to be immersed in order to have sins forgiven. If you want to make things right, it's a perfect place, a perfect time. The whole world is making new resolutions. Let's do those things that benefit us most in a spiritual sense when we stand and sing this song of encouragement.